right. Good evening and welcome. Those online, welcome. We're glad to have this opportunity to be together on a Sunday evening and think about what God's doing in the world. That's the focus tonight, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But let's pray as we get started here. Father, what a joy to call on you and to have this opportunity to meet as your people. And as we meet in this room, we know that all over the world, your people are worshiping you, living for you, that we're a part of something so much bigger than what's happening in this community as you're rescuing people from every nation and every language, every tribe. Thank you. I thank you for what you're doing through this church family, some that are even now serving out at the camp and ministering to folks that are going to be there this week. We realize that you work through people to make known the beauty of your Son. We're thankful that you have given us a wonderful team of missionaries that help us as a church to spread the good news to the world. Such a joy to have Jade with us tonight. We ask that you would fill her Holy Spirit and use her tonight to open our eyes to the wonder of what you're doing to minister the hope of Christ to people in the Dominican Republic, and allow our time to be an encouragement to her. We just pray as you taught us, Lord Jesus, to you, Father, the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers into the harvest. The need is great, and we're grateful for those that have gone out from us, and we pray you'll give us that joy of even sending more to make known what's so dear to our hearts. Bless our time now. We commit it to you, and just thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing a song together, and that song is being determined even as we speak. So what will the number be? 513, if you'll take your books, we'll sing. And then after we sing, it's our joy to have Jade come and share with us what the Lord's laid on her heart. And after that, we'll have a time of praying together again. So.
Okay, am I on? Is it working? Okay, great. Okay, hello, Williamsburg family. It's been a year, and I'm back to give you all a glance at what God has been up to this past year in the Dominican Republic and what he's been doing in my life. First, I wanted to share with you a quick bird's eye view of our campus. Take a look at this short video, some drone shots one of our older MKs put together. I will probably say MKs a few times throughout, so if you don't know what that means, it means missionary kid. And it's just the beginning of life. Okay, so you can see we are in a pretty rural area, but that was our land, the school, and surrounding apartments. So this past year, one of the areas I was able to serve in was in the math classroom. This is our high school team of teachers and the math teaching team that sometimes I had to call on for help when I was teaching. I had half of our 10th grade class. The 10th grade class was divided into two so that we could level the material to best meet our kids' needs. I got the lower half, which was more at my level. This picture was on my birthday. They surprised me with a little party. And here's just another fun picture of my crew. I did teach in Spanish. Well, mostly. It was great being able to teach the older kids because I was able to switch to English here and there. Before being in the classroom, I did not need a lot of math vocabulary, so I did have to learn several new terms, and the kids were also very eager to help me when I said things incorrectly. I know many of you have heard of the Freedom Mission and Vision for years now. But for those of you that may not be familiar with the ministry, I wanted to share a quick why it is that school has been the primary tool used. For several years in our Bible classes, we have used Summit Ministries curriculum. They came out and visited us and made this video. They did an excellent job giving a picture of our area, some of the struggles in the Batays. Batez is another term I will use several times. It's just another word for village. So they did an excellent job giving a picture of our area, some of the struggles in the Batez and culturally, as well as share our goals in the ministry. They were able to get footage both at our school and in some of our villages.
A lot of our kids don't come from believing or stable homes. They don't have a church that they're going to, and then the families a lot of times aren't speaking into their life.
Especially in the villages, there's a lot of the voodoo. It's almost that you doubt that it's real, that stuff is, you know, like that kind of dark stuff is going on.
Realmente es triste pensar en eso. Hay muchos estudiantes, muchos niños que no conocen de Jesús. Aparte de que no conocen de Jesús, no terminan su educación y lo que termina es yendo a la calle, siendo delincuentes, una vida no muy favorable.
We view Christian education as a really amazing tool for discipleship. My prayer, my hope, is that we are turning out graduates that are going out and they are engaging their culture according to their design, and that they make other disciples because of the work that God did in their life while they were here. So that's why our motto is love God, love people, live design, because ultimately that's kind of where we're trying to drive students on those three. And the school is a really good tool to hit all of those.
I still feel like I was a new believer when I came down here. Like, I didn't even know, like, until what, about 2 years down, did I really see the importance of Christian education and how that can be a tool.
I remember really being pushed by our founder at that time to approach this from, you know, a biblical standard.
I mean, ultimately, that's my prayer. That's my heartbeat for it. Not that it just got straight A's to impress the teachers, impress their parents, feel good about themselves. That ultimately they learn more about the Lord as a result. I'm going to get teary-eyed. That they'll learn more about the Lord as a result of that. Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry. commit it, right?
I took Understanding the Times when I was in high school, you know, so we had some familiarity with Summit. And so as we started to look at the curriculum, we were really drawn to the Building on the Rock curriculum.
It was cyclical every year, you know, so this, you're still reviewing those same biblical truths and knowing the context of our students. We need that familiarity with the same thing going all the way up because they live in constant change and constant, you could say, in a trauma-like environments where the fight or flee is ever present, and so their brains don't really rest in that sense. We really tried to think like the end goal in mind, 18-year-old in mind. We want them to have those biblical truths when they graduate so that when they encounter different opposing worldviews and stuff like that, that they have some truths that they know because those were ingrained in them. As they were coming up,
they put like God in the foundation. So everything is God. Everything is God. So they always put God in first place.
Nuestro propósito no es simplemente educar pensando que alguien va a ser un doctor o un abogado. Sabemos que hay niños que no van a tener esas oportunidades, pero vamos a tener hombres y mujeres que en cualquier cosa, si pueden peinar, si pueden cortar cabello, van a hacerlo con otro propósito, que no sea simplemente para sobrevivir, sino van a mirar su trabajo para glorificar a Dios.
I would like to share what I'm learning here. I put it in practice in Lima, where I live. I teach a little bit of English. I teach little kids like to count and read. I give like my service free because I want to do what freedom is doing in my bate. I want to my bate change. I want that the regeneration of the art change, that they know that God see them.
Dios es verdad y siempre nos dice lo que es correcto y verdadero. Dios es el único, verdadero y todopoderoso.
Ser cristiano no significa ser seguidor de Cristo, sino amar a Cristo y seguirlo donde Él va. Como dice un versículo, el que quiere venir conmigo, que lleve su cruz y venga conmigo.
If you could see, like, if it was all dark and then slowly you just start to see, like, this part on a map, and then all of a sudden you start to see just like little, you know, lights, you know, where it literally is a changed life, a believer. And as they start to marry and they start to have kids and then the next generation, it becomes light, this part of the world that normally, you know, Satan had a really strong foothold in, entrenched in darkness, in the voodoo. And then that idea that one day, I don't want to get emotional again, that every tribe, tongue, and nation will worship together in heaven. And so I feel like we get a glimpse of that a little bit more. Yeah, I got emotional again.
Okay, let me find my place here. One thing that I want to reiterate that the video mentioned that we share with the groups, too, when they come and partner with us, is the goal isn't to eliminate poverty, to get them out. Yes, education opens doors, but the ultimate desire is wherever God may have them, that they would do it for God's glory. So if they stay in their village and cut sugarcane, that's okay. But our desire is that they would do that for God's glory. Here are the ones that the Lord has given the ministry at this time. This past year, we had 350 students. This clip was right after we took an all-school picture. I had the opportunity to be involved with other school events as well. At the end of the year, the high school had the opportunity to go to the Capitol and visit the botanical gardens. It was so fun getting to interact with the kids outside of the classroom. Another element I was able to be involved with was discipleship with some of our older students. Once a week, during study hall time, our ninth graders were pulled out and got to do a book study in small groups with various missionaries and teachers. The first semester, we studied a book called Joven Verdadera, which translates to True Young Women. Both of our girls, as you can see in the picture, Faniri and Esterlina, expressed that they were not saved, but were very open to talking about truth and the topics each week in our book study. The book did a great job talking about different areas of life and how to live life as a godly Christian young woman, as well as give many opportunities to share the gospel. I am so thankful the Lord has given so many different people in each of their lives. They are not just getting truth in that 1 hour book study time. They also have Bible class every day and believing teachers in every other subject. Later in the year, Esterlina's Bible teacher, another missionary that has helped me with camp in the past, let me know that she told him that she wanted to accept Christ, but she wasn't sure. They had a really good gospel-centered conversation during recess. It was clear she was thinking about these truths and what they meant for her. Her family is not believers, and this is one of the big reasons she wrestled so deeply with the decision. She later attended a church in her village, and she accepted Christ. Thank you for praying for her. Your prayers played a part, and we now have another sister in Christ. Continue to pray for Faniri. She knows the truth, but she has not yet accepted it. The second semester, we had the opportunity to pull our 10th graders and have discipleship groups. Mia, another missionary, and I were able to have three gals, Gislena, Sonia, and Rosa. All three told us that they are not Christians, and each had their own reasons, struggles, and lies that they were believing. Rosa was in the video I played earlier. She is one of our smartest students and will most likely be the valedictorian when it comes around time to graduation. Our first meeting, the girls were quiet and hesitant. We were able to have them stay the night, one school night, and got to spend some time with them outside of school. The next discipleship group meeting, they did a 180 and were not shy at all. We went through a book called Appearance, Does God Really Care How I Dress? Yes, we talked a lot about modesty, but beyond that, the gospel and how God does care about each aspect of our life. Each of these girls still haven't made a decision and a commitment to follow Christ, but they know the truth. Will you continue to pray that the Lord would soften their hearts and clear out the obstacles that they face? Another discipleship group I was able to be a part of was with our junior high and high school age missionary kids. We did a book study called Anxious, Fighting Anxiety with the Word of God, a study and many truths that I also needed to hear. It was such a joy getting to know them at a deeper level and getting to build into their lives in that way. I feel like I do have to put a little disclaimer, because yes, we do have Starbucks in that picture. I think there are now three in the country of the Dominican Republic. To close out our study, we traveled to the capital, which is a few hours away, and went to the mall and got some Starbucks. It doesn't happen often in the DR, so it definitely is a treat when it does happen. Our older MKs help a lot in the ministry, but don't always get to be a part of all the activities that are designated for the students. So it was a true blessing to be able to help them and give them a safe place to chat about their struggles and encourage them. Another one of my roles this last year was to invest in our missionary team and their families. This is a picture of our team from this past year. In this picture, we have 9 families and 3 singles that make up our team. I think this role title was officially team coordinator. This was the beginning of the year. If you are a camp person, you may know the term speed friending. That is what we're doing here. So yes, I did sneak in some team building moments throughout the year. Of course, you know, good fellowship comes with food, right? We definitely know how to do a good potluck. Ministry is happening all the time around us, but many times we each have our different roles, and even though on the same team, we may not see someone for a whole week or more as our paths just don't cross. We were able to plan a few special ministry opportunities where our whole team was able to serve together. In this video clip, we went out to one of the bates and played some water games. One of the main ways I tried to build up our community and encourage our team was through our team nights. We met every other week to hear some truths and encourage and pray for one another. We met as a whole group and in small groups and discussed the different chapters of the Gospel Primer. If you have not read this book, it is one I highly recommend. The premise is going through all of the reasons it is so important to preach the gospel to yourself. This morning, I noticed over in your little resource section that you guys actually have an abbreviated version of it. Part of the book also has two different poems, I think they use a different word for it, narratives of the gospel that are very cool. So if you're curious and want a taste of it, you can go get it here right in the foyer. Okay, yes. While the adults were in small groups, the missionary kids had their own small group time. I would meet with the junior high and high school MKs to talk about the lesson for the week and did my best to equip them to best be able to lead their fellow younger MKs. Can I just say that they did a great job? They led songs, taught Bible verses, led games, and taught the lesson. Some of them were super comfortable and gifted up front, and others were stretched a bit, but willing to jump in and help. I didn't always get to observe this time in action, as I myself was in the adult small groups, but I would check on them from time to time, and I was beyond proud. God was using them to invest in the younger generation. The theme of the year for them was "When Tough Is Tough, I Can Worship God." Toward the end of the school year, I was able to fit in some special events. It was hard to find a time where all of our ladies could attend, but we found a weekend and I was able to organize an abbreviated ladies event. Crafts, food, lessons, small groups, giveaways, and all. One of the coolest gifts I was able to give them, which I stole the idea from another retreat I had attended in the past, was reaching out to some of their sending churches and families to get a number of encouragement cards and letters. One of the missionary ladies told me it brought them to tears and that this was one of the best gifts they had ever received. God definitely used that time to remind us of some truths, have a safe place to share, and encourage one another. Even though we all live in the same place with all the avenues of ministry going on and different responsibilities of family, having the ladies together in one place is fun and a special event in and of itself. Even though God allowed me to plan this time, He used it in my own life as well. Preparing and choosing the message and topic required me to listen to it and a few others over and over. So God must have wanted me to also hear those truths more than once. This, by far, was the favorite thing I got to do and be a part of this past year. I was able to plan an MK retreat at the end of the year. We rented out an Airbnb, and it truly was like a retreat, the closest thing to camp that I've gotten to do in a few years. There are some true blessings and wonderful opportunities presented to those with the title of MK, but there are also some unique struggles and difficulties. Our MKs have gone through a lot of change and a lot of goodbyes. Being able to create some solid memories as a group, have some unique experiences, intentional time in the Word, and all of the wonderful things that the camp setting provides was beyond special. It was clear that God was a part of this weekend from start to finish. Although not the best quality, I have a quick video to show you just a little bit of the fun that we were able to have. Thank you. ministry that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of this school year. I'm just one person on the team, so those highlights were just some of the pieces going on in the ministry. When summer comes around, our ministry shifts some. No more school, but we run a half-day English program. It's kind of like summer school, but a little more fun. It's a crazy turnaround from the end of school year as we're prepping, planning, and training, and all of that's happening at the same time as we're finishing up school. We jump straight from finishing the school year to summer program. Teams from the States come at various times throughout the year, but summer, we are very heavily reliant on the teams to run the summer program. We create the program to be intern-run, so we are heavily reliant and thankful for the 7 interns that the Lord provided for us this summer. I had the opportunity to be involved with a piece of the summer program and with the interns. Not quite the same, but it reminds me a lot of getting to work with summer staff at camp. I have a quick video clip that highlights our interns in the ministry.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but apparently... Hello, my name is Kaden, and I am interning here at Freedom International Ministries.
Show it
to the camera.
No camera, please.
That brings a smile to my face. The second half of the day, we would go out to the villages and host a VBS, just like you would think of, like we did here, songs, lesson, crafts, and games. When we would arrive to the Bate, we would first walk around to collect the kids and invite them to be part of the VBS program. This is a picture of that. By the second or third day, they knew we were coming, and they usually would greet us at the bus. Then we would start with allowing a few of those from the missions trip team to share their testimony. Each village is a little different. Some we would meet in a small outdoor pergola like the one pictured. Others we would go in a small church building, but not church like this. Just a one room, very hot area with wooden benches or plastic chairs. After the lesson and a time of coloring, we would go outside and play. These are just a few of the cuties I got to spend some time with this summer. Typically, it's rain or shine that we go out. One day this summer, it rained pretty good, and we were all super muddy by the end. We would bring a bag that has balls, a bat, bubbles, jump ropes. Here are just a few more glimpses into that time in the Bates. This next one is by far my favorite. This little boy did this on repeat for at least a half hour. He would swing, and if he missed it on the baseball swing, he would then switch to a golf swing. And then every time, I mean every single time, he ran his own imaginary bases as if he got a home run. I hope it gives you as much joy as it does me.
Ready?
Oh! Icore!
Woo! Home run!
Before I move on to the next thing, I want to pause and share another God moment in the midst of all of this. One of the Dominican teachers that I would go out to the villages with shared with me the second day in one of our VBSs that after teaching during the playtime, a boy named Angel that goes to our school said, "I want to be a Christian." She was able to go through the gospel message again, and he prayed with her and committed his life to Christ. As I mentioned before, the first half of our day was the English program. A portion of this time was spent in the classroom and led by the interns. Another piece was in our multi-use where we did our theme song. Take a listen and see if you can figure out what our theme was. What's the theme? Armor of God, a plus. You passed. Yes, it's the armor of God. And even though it is our English program, we do one small piece in Spanish, and that is our Bible lesson. We want that to be in their heart language. For some of our more advanced kids, they probably understand 80 to 95% of the English. But some, especially our younger ones, it can be a struggle at times. But immersion is one of the best ways of learning. Another piece of the program was game time, which I got to lead. Here they are racing to put their memory verse together. And they did learn the armor of God passage in English. And what program can go without a relay race, right? Of course, we made it Armor of God themed. They had to put on each piece of the Armor of God before running through the different obstacles. One of our older MKs who moved away and is finishing college was visiting us toward the end of the summer season and helped us to put together a little charge, a piece of encouragement to our interns who helped us run the summer program. I thought I would share a portion of that charge. Those of us involved with the interns were able to give. I wrote the encouragement for them, but as I listened to it back, it's something I also needed to be reminded of. All right. You made it! No cap. I just learned that the other day. And there it is, the 2024 season comes to a close. I know some of you weren't so sure if you were going to make it. When we first started, those first few days and that first week was a lot. You persevered, you served well, you loved on the kids, you grew together as a team. Each of you have your own personality, style, strengths, and weaknesses. As I think of each of you, Tessa, Ethan, Caden, Maria, Cheyenne, Dory, Zoe, Will, I'm excited to think about all of the other adventures and opportunities to serve that the Lord has yet for you. Each of you are stepping into different circumstances as you return back to the States. But no matter where it is, remember, God wants to use you. He's prepared in advance good works for you to do. Don't miss it. Just because your location and audience is different, that doesn't mean God is done with you. For some, it may be your own family. Some will move away from family and the familiar. Even in the waiting, God is with you and wants to use you. Yes, plan for the future, but don't get so lost in what's next that you miss what God has for you right now. I love you guys. I'm praying for you. Keep your eyes on Him. For those of you that might be curious, no cap, if you want to learn some, of the newest lingo the interns always teach me, no cap is like, I'm not lying. Okay, so I learned that this summer. So if you want to be cool, you can say no cap and, you know, maybe get some extra cool points. The reason why I also need to hear those truths are because I am in the middle of transition now myself. In the midst of it all, throughout the year, there has been a lot of praying and seeking the Lord. I have been reading through the Old Testament and not too long ago finished the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. I have needed the same reminders that the Israelites have needed, reminders of who God is and what He's done, that our God is the God who has parted the waters, broke down the walls, and stopped time. That God goes with me and before me. That same God is with the ministry. I wonder if Joshua was afraid or worried about the role he was stepping into. I don't know for sure, but I do know for sure that between Moses and the Lord, he was reminded an awful lot. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." In verse 7, it says again, "Be strong and courageous." In verse 8, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." In the beginning of Joshua, that message is on repeat. My heart for missions and my heart for the people there hasn't changed. But the Lord is giving me a new desire and passion to pursue getting further equipped in helping the hurting. I have started the process of getting my ACBC certification and am highly considering pursuing getting my master's in counseling. In Joshua, I kind of forgot that the Lord divided the waters again when Israel crossed the Jordan. When reading this again, I realized for the first time that God called them to first put their feet in the water. In Joshua 4, I'm just going to read some parts of it, but starting in verse 8, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but it says, "When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Then in verse 13, it talks about the soles of your feet shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall not be cut off from flowing, or shall be cut off from flowing. Verse 15 and 16, "The feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the waters." And then in verse 16, finally, "The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away, and the people passed over opposite of Jericho." With the Red Sea, he divided the water before they entered. But this time, they had to take the first step. Oh, good. I think I'm doing good at time. Okay. Let me find my place, though. With the Red Sea, he divided the water before they entered. But this time, they had to take the first step and walk in the water before he made the way. I don't know what it is that the Lord is preparing for me, but he has impressed on my heart that he is preparing something new and asking me to take this first step in faith. Please know, this is a decision that I do not take lightly. But I know the most important thing is to be obedient to the Lord. The few next steps I do know, all Lord willing, I head back to the DR in a few days to pack up my stuff and say my goodbyes. I then hope to come back to the area in September for a while and take a mini sabbatical while I continue to work on my ACBC certification and seek the Lord for what the next thing may be. I definitely appreciate your prayers during this time for the transition and the logistics of moving, packing, selling different belongings. Also, as I seek whether pursuing my master's is one of the next steps before jumping into whatever ministry the Lord may have for me. Whatever it may be, knowing better how to help people, how to counsel them, and knowing God's word better will be an asset to his work. So I'm going to take this season to rest and sharpen before jumping back into whatever new adventure the Lord may have for me. That's all I got this time around. I'll hopefully see y'all next time, and in the Lord's timing, be able to share with you what's more of what's next.
Jade, that was a wonderful presentation. She's just really gifted. That was so clear and so encouraging just to hear what God's been doing in your life and in the DR. I've been reading your letters, and you and I have been talking on the phone, but just hearing the presentation, you have been a busy person. It struck me involved with the MKs, with the interns, with the missionary families themselves, the adults, and then the interaction with the students. It's really good. It's really been a blessing to read or hear about. What is it like teaching the children, many of whom are not Christians? It's a Christian education, but many of them are not Christians. Can you talk about what that's like? Are they respectful? Do they want to learn about the Bible? How does that work?
Yeah. For the most part, the Dominican culture is very friendly toward all those things. They're not, hateful. And the culture in and of itself is kind of like, you're a stranger, but it's okay. Come sit down and have coffee with me. So it's a very friendly culture in that sense. And as far as the kids, they're always willing, well, I would say typically, they're willing to hear it. And honestly, the discipleship kids I have, and most of our older kids, because they've been going to our school since they were 3 years old, they could give you the clearest gospel presentation, clearest gospel presentation. And so that's what, makes my heart a little sad, too, because they know the truth. They know it. But there's just a lot of obstacles. It's interesting because some of it's cultural, and you have to learn with a different mindset, maybe this isn't a black or white wrong issue, but some of it is cultural and it's wrong. it's incorrect, some of the lies they believe. A lot of the Christian culture there is very, very legalistic. And so if you listen to music, bad music, you are not a Christian. So a lot of them will say, well, I want to listen to my music, so I'm not going to make that decision now. Or, I listened to bad music this weekend, so I'm not saved anymore. And so, we tell them the truth about you can't lose your salvation, all of those things. But it's so ingrained in that culture and in the churches that they're going to that it's kind of hard for them to navigate. And then, like I said before, a lot of their families aren't believers, so that's another obstacle as well. It's at first kind of a shocking thing because they're pretty truthful. I feel like in the States, the States have changed too, so maybe this isn't the case now, but usually people just kind of will appease you to get you to be okay, great, and then you leave if you're saying something. But they're just truthful. The kids are like, no, I'm not a Christian, or no, I want to do this thing, or, so they'll just tell you. And so at first it's a little bit shocking, but getting to work with them, it's really helpful because they're not trying to hide it. They're not trying to cover it up. They're telling you exactly where they're at, the lies that they're believing, even though they might not realize their lies. And so then you can better try to give them truth to fight some of those lies or to consider as well.
Can you remind us, as I was watching what you're talking about, the freshmen and sophomore girls you were working with, how many years would they have been a part of this Freedom Ministry? When did Freedom start? And so how long would they have they been under the influence of missionaries?
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then that's one, and then kindergarten, 11, and then, so I think it's 13 years.
Okay.
Because all of our kids, well, the majority of our kids start at 3 years old and go, because of the lack of education system there, it's not really possible for a kid to just jump in third grade or jump in fifth grade because by that time, the gap is so far, that kid doesn't know how to read at all, and our kids do know how to read, and so they can't really jump in. So they have to start when they're younger. We've made a few exceptions with, teachers' kids, or if they're able to, test up to that area. But also, we've also done really big classrooms, so it's hard to add people as well because of that. But, yeah, about 13 years.
So it's a slow but steady progress. You've been building into the kids that are saying, I'm not a Christian. It's not like they haven't heard truth. They've been hearing truth for a decade in many cases. Yeah, that's really interesting. How about the interns, the six or seven interns? Are they like in college now in the States? And how do you find out about these young people that they come? What's that process like? Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, the interns, it's like an assortment of things, like, you know, that just God provides a way. A lot of the missionaries or interns are word of mouth from teams that come. Like I said, we have a lot of teams that come throughout the year. And so a lot of it's Ohio and Indiana because that's a lot of where our missionaries are from. But there's other states where teams will come. And so then that church knows about this opportunity and they might share the word. Or a lot of times one of the interns will have come for a week on a team and they're like, oh, I want to do this more. Or they might be interested in missions. We actually have one intern that was there this summer that decided that she wants to stay, so she's actually staying for the year and is really interested in missions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I just have learned over the years sometimes what we think God's using us to accomplish and what he's actually accomplishing are totally different, and I think that investment in those interns is going to produce fruit for a long time. You've built into their lives as well as others, but that's exciting. So,
it is cool. Numbers don't matter, so let me X-nay that, rewind. Our 10th grade class, you know, because they are the oldest ones, next year they'll be 11th grade. But the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I mean, I would still say at least half are not believers. But the last 2 or 3 years, God's been working, and several have made decisions. And so it's just been cool to see a little bit of the dynamic change in the school, because now those that are believers are also starting to witness to their friends or say, hey, my family doesn't know the Lord either. You know, and so that's been kind of cool, too, as the Lord has been changing some of the students' lives for them to also partner with us and to, like, make that impact. And so my prayer has been that they will have, that God will just give them boldness, because they're definitely the minority, but they now have this opportunity to reach their classmates. So, yeah.
One other question. Back, I forget the timing of it, but you said Freedom. It sort of made a change instead of the missionaries gathering for your own worship time there on the compound. You started going out into the churches, and I remember praying with you and talking with you. Talk to us about what that process was like. You were trying to find a church to get involved in. What was that like? I think people might find it helpful. What's the challenge about going out into a church? Just talk about that, if you would.
So I did a lot of church hopping, and I did a lot of streaming of service from the States during that season while I was figuring it out. A lot of the churches are, like, more Pentecostal, so there's, like, everyone's praying at the same time, they're yelling, they're all talking at the same time, so it's just a different feeling.
In Spanish, too.
In Spanish.
Yeah.
And so, that's a whole other element, so just even being able to understand it when you have emotion and all those things going on. If one person is talking to me in Spanish, I might get, like, 80% of what they're saying, but if there's more background noise, it's like, nope, I didn't get anything. There were a few options that I was, like, more heavily considering. One was a closer, and I really loved it because some of our students went there, but, like, I could not understand the pastor at all. He was just really fast and had a really thick, like, accent. And then I found another one that was, like, a half hour away, which then wasn't, like, in my community as much, but it ended up being the better fit for me. I could understand that pastor. I mean, not 100%, but enough that I was coming away with some truth and encouragement. And it was also a God thing, too, because there were other missionaries from other organizations that went to that church, so I got to meet some others and connect with them, and
Thank you. Well, thanks. That's been a blessing to hear. Let's have a time of prayer for Jade. Gary, would you lead us in prayer? We've heard a lot of things tonight, and we want to be praying about next steps for Jade, if you'll lead us, please.
Father, truly you are a good God. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for answering our prayers in Jade's life. We remember when we were able to send her to this ministry, and we just prayed that you would use her mightily, and we have seen that happen. And we just thank you for answering prayers and protecting her during hurricanes and all the difficulties that she faced as she learned the language and the customs and dealt with them not having camp during the summer and different things that she had anticipated, but yet you just used her in a mighty way in the school and with these children's lives and with the MKs and all the people that she was involved with. We just thank you for her life and her testimony to each of us. Help us that we might be willing servants, that we might have open hands, that we might you might use us to bring glory to yourself. We think of her upcoming decisions that she has to make. We thank you that you are the God of all wisdom and that you will give her the wisdom that she needs. We just thank you that you have worked mightily in even directing her steps to this point of taking a furlough and finding out exactly what you would have her to do. Thank you for her example to us of how that she's willing to do whatever you want her to do, and we just pray that you might make that very plain to her. And we just thank you again for her life, of how that even her life has impacted each of us, even as we are many miles apart. We just thank you again for watching over her and caring for her, and we do pray for this next step that you will guide each of her steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gary. All right. Well, thanks again. And if you have things you want to ask Jade or input, encouragement you want to give, please do so personally. And so you're heading back. What day do you fly back?
Wednesday.
We'll be praying for you on that journey as well. So thank you. Have a good week, and the Lord bless you. Remember, Chuck Spears will be speaking to us via Zoom Wednesday at 7, so that'll be a good time.